Welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. I'm Caroline.
My name is Jeff.
And today we are here to talk about the band Pavement.
Pavements.
Indie Darlings.
Indie Darlings. Of the 90s specifically.
Yeah, and you know what we think here on this show? We love the 90s.
We do love the 90s.
You know, like, I don't think, neither of us want to be that guy, but we love the 90s.
Yeah, only true 90s kids will understand this podcast.
Yeah, and this band.
Because, really, Pavement are, like, the 90s indie rock band, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
yeah, suck it, Sabado.
You know, I enjoy the music of Sabado, but I basically think Pavement are like, I mean, they define the whole time period for indie rock, I think. Like, they are the 90s indie rock band par excellence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I would agree. They're the band that I think a lot of people, I think, want to be Pavement.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are deceptive because I think people are like, yeah, I could do that. But they can't. Pavement are deceptively normal because when you actually, like, really think about their songwriting and them as musicians and how they work together as a band, they're really weird.
They are. They are a quirky, quirky band.
Like, they just do weird shit. Stephen Malkmus is an amazing guitarist, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, amazing. And a weird songwriter.
For sure. I think, yeah, I like that you say they are a deceptively normal band, because that is a criticism that gets flung at them. That
they're too normal?
Yeah, that they're kind of, like, they're not especially challenging. Like, they're a very, like, you know,
bland sort of.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Actually, I kind of used to think that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you were deceived.
I was deceived. Well, what happened was, like, in college, I got Slanted and Enchanted and Crooked Rain. And I was like, yeah, these are okay. I don't see what the big deal is. Like, it's just, like, kind of solid, okay kind of songs. But, like, Crooked Rain especially, a lot of those songs are pretty weird.
Yeah, and Wowie Zowie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Wowie Zowie level, but, like, those songs are weird. Like, Hit the Plane Down.
Right.
I don't know, like, that song is weird. And I think it's not until, like, this year where I really started to get into Pavement and really, like, clue into what they were doing and really enjoy them.
Yeah, Pavement were one of those bands that I just liked immediately when I heard them, and they just became a favorite of mine. And I don't listen to them that much these days, but it's hard to argue with these albums going back to them. Like, they're all pretty great.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, Bright in the Corners I like a little less than the others, but
Bright in the Corners makes me really sad.
Aw.
Yeah.
Stereo? That makes you sad?
Well, no, Stereo, but everything after that does.
Yeah.
Like, Shady Lane makes me really sad.
Right.
I don't know why. It's just that little guitar line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, and, that's another way that they're kind of deceptive, I think, is, for such a goofy band, there is, like, a distinct melancholy streak through a lot of their music.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, their lyrics are silly, but he, like, sneaks in these little moments of, like, real pathos into them sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, kind of disarming. It's cool that way, I think.
Yeah, little Stevie Malkmus knows how to write a song.
He's got a heart in him.
Well, yeah, he's a living human being.
Well, you know, I meant it more in the metaphorical sense that, you know, he feels things.
Sure.
He's got a lot of emotions.
Yeah. But
buried beneath his laconic slacker pose.
He is such a strange person. Like, he comes across as such a weird person to me.
Yeah.
Like, somebody who puts it, like, I mean, I think he's incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, an amazing musician, and I really appreciate his work very much. But he does, his persona does seem like a person that puts a lot of effort into seeming like they don't care.
Right, right. Which, you know, that was what you did in the 90s.
Yeah, I think he's still doing it.
I don't know, like, he kind of just comes off as, like, a boring, like, dad now. Like, more than he used to. Like, yeah, I think his persona, he had a lot of charisma, probably, in his later days, but, like, or, I mean, in his earlier days, but,
yeah.
But, yeah, he hasn't been, like, an especially compelling, person in, like, interviews and stuff. he's a really, like, average guy these days from the look of it.
I watched this interview with him. It was like this 20-minute interview or something, and he was wearing socks tied around his legs, like around his jeans. And I was like, why the hell is he doing that? And then he asked the interviewer, like, aren't you going to ask me about these socks? And the guy said, sure. And he said that, like, his daughter did it.
No.
And so, like, she wanted him to have these socks tied around his legs. It was cute.
That is cute.
Yeah.
That is funny that the interviewer didn't ask him about it.
Yeah, I was like, well, aren't you gonna ask? Well, he was wearing some dumb baseball hat and too, and the guy probably thought he was just trying to look stupid.
Yeah, because that's indie as hell.
Yeah. That's indie as hell for, like, a 45-year-old man.
Man, even Pavement is getting old now, man.
Well, you know, everybody's getting old. We're all going to be dead soon.
I know. It's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Death awaits.
Yep. Sure.
I mean, like, pretty soon, we're going to be 30.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be 60.
Yeah, then we're going to be dead.
Then we're going to be dead.
Yep. I look forward to my, like, middle years.
Yeah.
Because I see myself as just, like, this really cool, like, older lesbian who, like, takes people under my wing, and I do, like, weird guitar experiments and just hang out and bro out.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that sound awesome?
That is the person you should be.
That's the person I plan on becoming.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a boring 40-year-old. But, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, you're a boring 26-year-old.
Ain't that the truth?
No, I think you're cool.
No, I mean, you know, I'm just some dude.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, I'm not particularly special in any significant way. I'll probably just continue to be that. What?
You know what I think? As long as you are enjoying yourself, don't matter.
It's true, man.
But
I don't know. Anyways, like that, I do want to be really good at something, though.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I don't feel like I'm good at anything. I feel like I have the potential to be good at certain.
Yeah,
things.
Like, if I really tried to be good at something, I probably could. But
yeah, like,
that would take a lot of effort, though.
Yeah, like I have a really good natural sense of, like, rhythm and stuff. So I feel like if I really put in the time, I could be a really great bass player, a really great drummer, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm not gonna do that.
Have you ever drummed before?
Yeah, I actually played the drums as a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
But gave it up because, like, I didn't own a drum set or anything like that. And then I moved, so I gave it up. But I have done it.
Drums are hard, man.
I know they are. Yeah, that's the thing. I would want to have one of those stand-up, like, kids, like what the Butthole Surfers had.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But, so Pavement.
Right. We are talking about Pavement.
Can you talk about Westing?
Yeah, we can talk about Westing. So before they came out with any full-length albums, they released 3 EPs.
Yep.
With silly names that I don't remember off the top of my head.
Slay Tracks, 1933 to 1969, Demolition Plot, J7, and Perfect Sound Forever.
Perfect Sound Forever is a cool name, but those other two are just silly.
Yeah, that was also the name of the book, the Pavement biography.
Yeah. So these 3 EPs got later placed in a compilation CD called Westing (parentheses) by Musket and Sextant.
Yeah.
That's one of the cool things. Stephen Malkmus likes weird words.
Yeah.
Like, he just likes, like, strange words and, like, putting them together, which I think is cool. But what I was basically going to say, though, is that this is not a very good compilation for the most part.
No, not really.
They really stepped up their game when they released Slammin' and Enchanted, but...
I don't hate this, like, I don't listen to it ever, it's kind of like, it's kind of like, okay, this is just like a band, like, having fun and sort of figuring themselves out. But yeah, it was a really big step up to their first full length.
Yeah, and there are a few songs on it that I think come close to, like, being as good.
Like what?
Like Box Elder and Debris Slide kind of have. You know, Debris Slide's got that great, like, ba 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 da ba, and, like, Stephen Malkmus goes, Debris Slide! Like, the way he says it is fun, you know? Yeah. It's got one of those sort of obnoxious, shouty Pavement hooks that are cool.
Why do you say that that's obnoxious?
Well, you know, Stephen Malkmus can be obnoxious sometimes.
Yeah, I would probably punch him.
You would probably punch him.
I could take him. His arms are skinnier than mine.
Yeah, that's true.
He's tall, though. He could probably...
Yeah, he's got range.
Tie me up into a pretzel and roll me down a hill.
Tie you up.
I hit a tree and explode. That happens, dude.
What's do you know what the scientific term for that is?
Spontaneous combustion.
I guess I don't know that's what spontaneous combustion is, when you roll into a tree and explode.
No, but I don't know what that shit is. Like, spontaneous combustion, I don't know what that shit's about.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen.
Hope it doesn't happen to me. It's like, when you were a kid, were you operating under the impression that, like, eventually you were going to experience a house fire?
I know that feeling, because I still have that feeling.
Yeah.
I feel it more now than I do when I was a kid, actually.
No, but, because, like, they put so much emphasis on fire safety that I assumed that, like, everybody's house burned down at one point, and I just had to be ready when it was going to happen to me.
Right. I don't know, I kind of feel like it's probably something that's going to happen to me at some point still.
I mean...
Seems like, I don't know, just seems like something that would happen.
I hope that you don't experience a house fire.
Me too.
If my house wasn't burned down, I'd have a hell of a time trying to get my dad out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think we're going to be okay. I think.
I can help.
No, you can't.
I'll get over as fast as I can. I can't guarantee that your house won't have burned down by that point, but I'll definitely come.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, that's really all I have to say about Westing, though. Like, it's mostly not very good.
Very beginning of the opening song kind of sounds like Incapacitance or something. Like, it's just like feedback, and it sort of sounds like harsh noise, and I'm like, oh man, I just wish I was listening to that. I have 50 minutes of this Pavement compilation that I have to get through.
There is that alternate version of Summer Babe.
Yeah.
But I like it's a failure, though. I concur.
So, Slanted and Enchanted?
Slanted and Enchanted, then. Obviously, this was a really important album for a lot of people. I wasn't there at the time, really. I mean, I was, but I was 4. So I wasn't aware of it, but...
I wasn't aware of shit. I was 1. I didn't even have object permanence.
But apparently this shit blew up the indie charts or something. Or the college radio charts.
This was a huge deal. This was a huge deal.
Yeah. Or so I'm told. For all I know, it wasn't at all.
No, it was.
And I've been fed that narrative by the alternative rock media.
Yeah, the worst stuff.
I don't know. I'm like secretly paranoid that everything I've been told about the past is a lie or something. I don't know.
It could be.
Right. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't, like, I think, based on what I have read, this was a big deal at the time.
Okay, yeah.
Let's and go. They became darlings. And I'd like to address something that I believed for a period of time and no longer do.
What's that?
Which is, Pavement are just a fall ripoff band.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. Yes.
No.
Okay. No. Hear me out. Okay. So, yes. The riff for Conduit for Sale is the same as the riff to New Face in Hell. And sometimes Stephen Malkmus yells. That is it. Okay? Okay, everybody? Okay? Can we put this to bed now? They're not a fall ripoff band. They're their own thing. I love The Fall.
I feel like
Room for Pavement, too. I love them, too.
I feel like people don't really say that much anymore, though. That, like, that was a thing that they were getting hit with back when they came out. But, like, I think their legacy is, like, secure enough now that no one really thinks
of them as a fall ripoff band. And it's so weird, too, because, like...
But something like Zurich is stained. Like, The Fall would never write
right,
something
or here.
Like that. Yeah, exactly.
So you get, like, okay, you get 2 states, which sort of sounds like The Fall.
Sure.
Conduit for Sale.
Conduit for Sale.
And that's, like, it.
Yeah.
Like, none of this other shit sounds like The Fall at all.
Right.
Like, don't be an idiot.
Right on.
Yeah, that's right.
So, what do you think of this album?
I love it.
Hey, me too.
It's not my favorite Pavement album, but
not,
I would say
it's not mine either.
That's a tough. It's probably number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's maybe where I'd put it. Yeah.
My favorite song in this album is "Fame Thrower."
That song is great. Yeah, that little tucka tucka tuck 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 tuck.
Yeah, and then when it sort of slows down.
Yeah, yeah.
I love when songs do that.
Hmm.
Like, it just, like, throws you back.
Yeah.
It's just great. Trigger Cut.
Trigger Cut's great. I mean, I love the guitar sound on that track, you know?
Yeah.
Particularly the point where it reaches, like, electricity and lust. And then the guitar does this, like, ching, 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 ching. That, like, sounds awesome.
Lies and betrayals.
Just these guitar parts are so creative.
Right, and they're really intricate also, like, especially on later albums, they became, like, masters of, like, these sort of interlocking guitar parts that they did
and
really well.
That's a thing that, okay, I was reading this Pavement book, I was reading the 33 and a third book on Wowie Zowie, which I have some words about that book, but, in interviews conducted, the other dudes in the band basically said, like, they couldn't keep up with Malkmus. And it was, just because he was writing stuff that was more complex and then had to simplify it so that they could play them. And that's kind of, and that was frustrating for him, and that was a little bit of why they broke up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they said, like, the musicians that he plays with now are much better musicians, like, can do more complex stuff, and,
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I mean, especially on, like, Pig Lib, it's a really, like, jammy kind of record.
Yeah, I've only heard bits and pieces. I've heard, what's the song, 1% of One?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that song.
It is a good song.
That's great.
Yeah, I haven't like listened to a lot of, like, I think I've heard them all at some point, but I've never like gotten into Stephen Malkmus's solo stuff so much.
I don't know if I have the time.
Right.
I've got these Truman's Water albums I still haven't listened to.
Oh yeah, Exo Smasm Smash and Ass or whatever.
That yeah,
was.
Yeah, that one. And,
I listened to that once and I wasn't really feeling it, but
yeah,
it kind of sounded like Okay Thinking Fellers, but I got the Thinking Fellers, so
that's true. Plus I've got these I could just listen to the offshoot band from the Zip Code Rapist like for the 50th time again.
Three Doctors
band, baby.
Yeah.
I love them. Shit's great.
Man, what other songs do I love on here? I love Perfume V, that guitar tone in that opening bit, the like, meow, 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 meow. You know
yes,
what I'm talking
yes.
about? It just
yes.
sounds so
I
like...
I adore that song.
Yeah.
That's a song that like I didn't pay that much attention to, and then all of a sudden I was like driving, and I had this album on, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, this song is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck was wrong with me? I wasn't paying attention to this.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the best songs on the album.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually really like the ballads on here, too.
Well, Here is an amazing song.
Here is beautiful. I love Zurich is Stained, also. Like, I just love how, like, sort of lazy the guitar playing is on it, you know? Right. And it's really pretty, too. Like, And that's one of sort of, that's one of those, that has one of those Stephen Malkmus hooks that, like, the lyrics are, like, dumb but affecting at the same time, you know? Like, you think it's easy, but you're wrong. Zurich is stained, and it's not my fault. Like,
know that feel.
I get it, man.
Malky, I know that feel.
Apparently, like, that lyric came because they, like, spilled some coffee on a map or something. I think I read that somewhere.
Oh, of course. Oh,
and they're like, ah, man, Zurich is stained.
Oh, that's precious.
And then, what else do I love on here?
Oh, the In the Mouth of Desert.
Oh, yes, In the Mouth of Desert is wonderful. I love, the guitars sound kind of, like, heavy on that track.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. Cause,
that is cool.
I mean, it's a tinny record overall. Like, it's not a lot of low end on it.
Yeah, which, you know, is usually a problem for me, but it works.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is a pretty noisy little record, too. Like,
what do you think about Pavement being tagged as, like, lo-fi? I would disagree with that.
I mean, maybe on this album.
Right.
Then Crooked Rain doesn't sound lo-fi, but it's like, you know, it's not a super spiffy recording or whatever, but...
I mean, like, okay, they're not... I don't know, they're not like the Flaming Lips or something, where,
right.
like, the studio arrangements are really complex or anything like that, but I wouldn't, like, To get back to a band like Sabado or Guided by Voices or something, like, it's not just, oh, we're putting a 4-track on and just record it. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Where you think of, like, Guided by Voices, where, like, the clipping on the recording is, like, part of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of what makes a song good. Like, Pavement doesn't have that going on.
That's true.
So, I think it's lazy journalism, as usual.
To call them lo-fi.
Yeah.
I guess on Slayer Than Enchanted, though, I think Slayer Than Enchanted qualifies as lo-fi, like, because I do think it's a, sounds like it was recorded in a house, basically, like.
Hey, Trout Mask Replica was recorded in a house, and they don't call that lo-fi.
Well, that's because, like, the lo-fi movement wasn't a thing at that point.
What is that, man? I don't know.
Well, like you were saying, like, Guided by Voices and Sebado and Ween, I mean.
Ween, definitely.
Yeah.
Daniel Johnston.
Right, exactly.
I watched a Daniel Johnston documentary.
Oh, the Devil and Daniel
Devil Johnston. And Daniel Johnston. It's no G.G. Allen documentary, but it was pretty good. I still, like, I don't... all of his songs are kind of the same.
I don't really like Daniel Johnston.
I mean, I do like, I do think he has some really great songs, but it's kind of enough already.
Yeah.
After a while. But, I mean, you know, a song like Casper the Friendly Ghost, I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. I watched Wolf of Wall Street, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah. It made me, like... It was exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just so long, and there's just so much horrible things happening.
Right.
And just, like... You don't even get the depths of, like, how awful it is. Mm-hmm. Like, for, like, the scamming people.
Right.
But yeah, and then I started thinking about how fucked up it must have been. Like, once there are no more Quaaludes, like, if you were addicted to Quaaludes and there were no more, that must have been rough.
Yeah, that probably sucked.
But anyway, we haven't talked about Summer Babe.
Yeah, Summer Babe is great.
That's, like, kind of one of their signature songs.
Yeah. And I like it, but it's never been a huge favorite of mine. It was the first Pavement song I ever heard, though, actually.
What about Cut Your Hair?
No, I heard Summer Babe first.
Wow. Because I had heard Cut Your Hair, like, for years.
See, I had never heard Cut Your Hair until I listened to Crooked Rain.
Yeah, I knew that song forever. And I always liked that song.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that, but didn't listen to Pavement until college. Because college is when you're supposed to listen to them, and I was just doing my duty and following the law.
Well, I think I got Crooked Rain because, like, allmusic.com gave it 5 stars. So I was like, I should check this out. See, I didn't have RYM when I was a kid, man. I had to use allmusic.com.
I didn't have it either. I didn't have it until I was, like, 18.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Kids these days, though.
I just had, like, friends through message boards.
Ah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, the internet is where I learned about music, basically.
The internet is my Berklee School of Music.
Yes.
I guess. But, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Any other songs? I mean, we talked about most of the best ones, I think.
That's right. That's because I'm great.
Yep. I'll give you credit for that.
So this had Gary Young as their drummer.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a...
burnt-out hippie dude?
Yeah, burnt-out hippie who had a drinking problem and would, like, hand out cabbage to people, like, in the audience and stuff. And finally, it got to the point where, like, sometimes he would be an amazing drummer, and other times he would not be.
Yeah.
And so, Stephen Malkmus recruited a young man named Bob Nastanovich to, like, keep the beat.
Yeah.
Basically, like, in their live shows, and then he eventually became, like, a big part of their sound, but
right.
On the first two records, he didn't, he wasn't actually on them.
Right. Mark Bindle told a story, one time, where, the first time he saw Pavement, they had Gary Young drumming,
yeah.
And, at one point, Stephen Malkmus said, alright, this next song is called Fame Thrower, and Gary Young was like, what? Stephen Malkmus is like, Fame Thrower. And Gary Young didn't know what song it was. And Stephen Malkmus turned around and just made that opening drum beat with his fingers. He went like, tick a tick a tick 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 a tick tick tick. And Gary Young was like, oh, okay. Like, that was how he remembered the song.
Okay, that's like that bit in You Talking You Two to Me, where they're pretending to be like the Edge and Bono, and the Edge is saying, oh, I know that song. It's just. Oh, God, I love that that's real.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Funny story.
And then eventually they also recruited Mark Eibold on bass.
Yep.
He was just a guy.
He was a good bassist.
Oh, yeah. No, I love him.
Yeah.
Really simple. A lot of people don't like him as a bass player.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that that's dumb because, like, I don't know what you people want.
Right.
But he's got a really good.
I mean, it's not, like, super creative, but.
No, but.
He's good, though.
Yeah, he's good, and some of the bass lines I really like. Like, I really love the bass on Hit the Plane Down.
Sure.
On Crooked Rain, and obviously Stereo.
Mm-hmm.
The bass is a huge part of that song, and plus, if you've seen clips of their live show, he is having so much fun. He is dancing, he is smiling, he is adorable, he's just having the time of his life, and I adore that, because that's such a contrast with Stephen Malkmus, who's like, oh...
Yeah.
I guess I have to play another show, you guys. Oh my god, I can't believe this.
Right, see, and that's the thing, like, I've never, like, Pavement were definitely one of my favorite bands back in the day, but I've never quite, like, liked Stephen Malkmus all that much. Like, he wasn't someone that I sort of, like, was into.
Like, as a person?
Right, yeah.
Like, as a persona?
That I, like, thought was really cool, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a really great songwriter, and I think he's a really excellent guitar player.
Yeah, no, I have tons of respect for him, but I just, like, never thought he was, like, really cool.
Yeah, he just seems, like, kind of irritating. But I think he knows that, mm-hmm. in a way, like, in the Cut Your Hair video, there's the thing where they put a crown on him, and then they do the close-up of a single tear rolling down his face.
That's a funny video.
Their videos are really funny.
Dude.
I like their videos a lot.
You know, man, Matador really, like, cleaned up in the indie rock world in the 90s, man. Because they had Pavement, they had Guided by Voices, they had Yo La Tengo, like...
And what else do you need after that?
They had Liz Phair, who was a really huge deal after Exile in Guyville.
And then was never a huge deal again until she did that song that sounded like Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of people were mad at her.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my god, how could you do this? Like,
well, she was another lo-fi person.
Yeah, I've never listened to that album.
Exile in Guyville?
Yeah, I've never listened to it.
It's not bad.
I
would say I like it overall.
I tend to not like solo artists I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I like bands.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's always been a thing for me, where I like bands, and I want to listen to bands, and obviously I know that, like, there's bass and drums on that record or whatever.
Right.
Some dumb band.
You cut out for a second, though.
Sorry. I was going to say that if Liz Phair was the guitarist for some band, then yeah, I might have listened
to it.
Yeah, Liz Phair and Great Clips, I don't know.
Liz Phair, I mean, I would say Exile and Guyville is worth hearing. It's good, sure, I'll say it's good. I'm on the record. Exile and Guyville is good.
You're really going out on a limb there. Controversial opinions.
My mind-blowing opinion on
wow.
Exile and Guyville by Liz
Phair. So, should we talk about Watery Domestic?
Oh, yeah. We should. I almost skipped right over to Crooked Rain and forgot about it.
You dumbass.
And that would have been very foolish, because the Watery Domestic EP is excellent.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
This is four really good songs.
Yep.
Frontwards is probably the best, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm looking at the songs now, and I'm like, yeah. That's the best one.
I mean, they're all really good, though. Like, this is good. It really does sound sort of halfway between Slanted and Enchanted and Crooked Rain. Like,
yeah.
Like the songwriting is, like, already visibly more sophisticated, but it's still got some noise to it.
Yeah.
Like, Frontward really, like, crunches in those hooks that, like, guitar... It's really... fuzzy and lovely.
Let's hear some guitar mouth noises.
for Frontwards?
Yeah.
I don't know. There are certain songs I can do it for, and other ones I can't. But.
Okay, sorry to put you on the spot. But, yeah, so this is where Bob Nasanovich and Mark Eibold debuted on record.
Maybe that's sort of what contributes to these more intricate kind of arrangements on this EP. Like Stephen Malkmus was already thinking bigger, but like...
Yeah.
Just, you know, has more people to realize it with now.
Yeah, although, like, I really didn't know, like, for a long time, I really didn't know what Bob's role in the band was.
I've always been sort of confused on it, too. Like,
I was like, what's this guy do? But I watched the Pavement documentary, Slow Century, which is on YouTube, and I would recommend it, because it's good. And then I was like, oh, yeah, this guy, like, adds a level to their weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more apparent, like, in their live material.
Yeah.
But he's playing
a woodblock, like, and some shit like that.
Yeah, but it adds a level to their sound, I think.
Sure.
Just to have this weird guy.
Right.
Doing things.
They, you know, their lyrics were goofy, and I think, like, their music was goofy a lot of the time. Like, the sounds that they make in certain songs sound kind of, like, funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but something like Brink's Job off of Wowie Zowie, you know? Just, like, that, like, wah-wah on the guitar sounds, like, funny and silly.
Yeah.
Like, I've always kind of liked that about them, that they've had that sort of sense of humor. And a lot of, like, the way Stephen Malkmus sings is funny. Like, the way he enunciates certain words.
Yeah, it's like going back a little bit, like on Fame Thrower, he goes, naked, foul.
Yeah, right?
Like, that's so dumb and weird.
It's funny, though.
And it feels like somebody kind of making fun of themselves.
Right. Like, they were a silly band in certain places. And hey, I like that.
Sure. I have a little story. Our friend Aaron, a friend of the show, guest on our Ween episode, one time he bought an album that he thought was Watery Domestic, and it turned out to be the self-titled album by Ambergris, which is where the title, the cover image of Watery Domestic comes from.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, oh, shit, I thought this was Watery Domestic, and then he listened to it, and he said it was just, like, really shitty, stupid blues rock. And it's like, oh, fuck.
That's disappointing.
He got burned.
Yeah. I wonder how much you paid for it.
Like, not very much.
Ah, okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
I like Shoot the Singer on this track a lot. It's got, you know what it's got?
What's it got?
It's got great arpeggios.
Oh!
That verse.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love your love of arpeggios.
I don't understand why everyone else doesn't love them as much as I do.
I was playing some. I was like, because I was just...
Yeah, they're fun to play.
Yeah, sure.
Because
mm-hmm. I was just fucking around, and I thought of you. I was just like, oh, I'm playing arpeggios. I should call Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, pal, listen to this shit.
If I ever do have a band, there's going to be arpeggios.
I'm you should call it that, arpeggios.
Big Jeff and the arpeggios.
Yep.
That would rule.
That would rule.
Alright. Anything else about Watery Domestic?
I like Lions. I like that song.
Sure.
Yeah. They're all good songs.
That bass line.
That's right. That's right. That's why it's so good.
I knew you would be into that.
Of course. Like, you love arpeggios, good bass lines.
You like sick bass lines.
Sick bass.
I actually didn't hear this whole EP for a long time, but I did have Texas Never Whispers because I had this Matador compilation called What's Up Matador, and it had this on it, and it was cool.
You know what's really funny? Is I didn't connect the word Matador to, like, the thought of a matador, like a person.
Yeah.
But I kept getting it confused. When I thought of the record label, I kept getting it confused with, like, a mastodon.
Sorry.
This was for several years. Like, finally I was like, okay. But I can't explain it, because it's not like I misread the word. And I know what a matador is, and always have, but for some reason in that context, I just kept picturing a mastodon. I don't know.
That's odd.
Yeah, I'm a strange person.
You were wrong to do so.
I was wrong. I know I was wrong. I'm putting it out there so that people can laugh at me.
Learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, and laugh at my mistakes because it's so stupid. Nobody else would make that mistake. But, should we talk about Crooked Rain?
Let's talk about Crooked Rain.
This album is wonderful.
This is my favorite Pavement album.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it's pretty much perfect, man.
It's my second favorite.
Like, I really can't find anything bad to say about this album.
Yeah, all the songs are good. Newark Wilder, I want to shout out that song.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's an amazing song. It's kind of a weird song.
Yeah.
I read, like, the liner notes or something, like, on that big reissue, the LA's Desert Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's, like, sort of a weird, like, sexy song. I don't know. But, this album has a prominent lyrical theme of, like, fame. You know what I mean?
I would say Range Life does.
Range Life does. But that is in a lot of songs. Like, I feel like a lot of Pavement songs...
Oh, I guess lyrics, Cut Your Hair also.
Cut Your Hair, yeah. Too. And Unfair a little bit. I don't know, Walk With Your Credit Card in the Air. But, like, a lot of Pavement songs...
Is the lyric after that, swinging nachos like you just don't care?
I think so. Is that the I don't line? Know. I've never checked, but that is what I assumed
That's
it
what
was.
It sounds like.
I hope it is. but
Swingin' Nachos.
Yeah, there are a lot of like Pavement songs that are about like celebrity and fame and like this weird discomfort with the idea of it.
Yeah, because they were kind of being groomed to be the next big thing.
Right, and it never happened.
Right. People like to say that Wowie Zowie was like Pavement defiantly refusing to be like a mainstream rock band.
Yeah, and it wasn't. They were just
Yeah, I've always been kind of dubious about like that, but
yeah, like Stephen Malkmus said he thought Rattled by the Rush could be a big hit, and then he was like, yeah, I was just smoking too much weed and I thought it would be a big hit.
That's great.
But this does have what I imagine a lot of people's first exposure to Pavement is, which is Cut Your Hair.
Sure.
Which I still think is a great song.
Definitely.
It's got, I love a good, like, vocal hook.
And that's another example of them being, like, goofy musically. Just like, oh, yeah. That's a silly hook, you know, that.
I know, yeah. I love the guitar, or, like, the guitar, like, in the end.
Yeah. Those, like, crashing chords at the end.
Yeah, I really like that.
That is great.
It's a great song. It's a great song. Gold Sounds is a great song.
Gold
it's
Sounds another, is beautiful, man. That's
like, kind of wistful ballad.
Yeah, and that's another one that sort of hits you with the pathos all of a sudden, you know? That's So Drunk in the August Sun, and you're the kind of girl I like, because you're empty and I'm empty, and you can never quarantine the past.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, man.
Dude.
That's harsh. It's real.
I know that feel. I also like 5 - 4 = unity.
Uh-huh.
Like their weird little jazzy
instrument. Yeah, and that has goofy little woo.
Yeah.
Like sounds come out.
And that's another example of like this album being a little strange.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's this sort of incongruous, like, jazz instrumental.
Right, and, like, other bands wouldn't do stuff like that.
Plus, that's a weird-ass song title. Like, that's a very Pavement song title, you know?
Yeah,
5 - 4 = unity.
Yeah, but, I think my favorite song on this album is Fillmore Jive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It actually took me a while to come around to Fillmore Jive.
Yeah, me too, but, oh my god, I love it.
It's definitely, like, epic. You know, it's a great way to like close the album.
Malkmus describes the song as a plaintive rock classic. Kind of dude, what? Who is this dude?
That's awesome.
Okay for me to say.
You know what, man? I feel like if you made Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain, you can brag about it. Like,
I don't know. Okay, it's like, for a while I was super into Jim O'Rourke.
Yeah.
And I still am, but I'm not, like, I'm not an obsessed Jim O'Rourke fan like I was for a little bit. And in interviews with Jim O'Rourke are really sad because he seems like somebody who really does not like his own music. Mm. Like, he can't get what he wants truly out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim O'Rourke is, in my mind, is a musical genius.
Yeah.
Like, he's just incredible. He is able to do so many different things. He makes beautiful music in all kinds of different genres. And I think he's great. Also, we're the same height, so I kind of feel like we would be friends. But yeah, like, interviews with Jim O'Rourke are sad because he seems like he's just not happy with his own music. And that's a mindset that I really relate to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never happy with, like, whatever creative work I've done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, it's not good because I could do better. And, like, and it's like how it took me forever to realize that most people don't hate themselves. Assumed that everybody hates themselves.
Yeah.
And then I found out that was not true.
That's very much not
and
true.
And so it's very foreign to me to think of a person not hating themselves and not hating, like, everything that they've ever done.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add to that.
Yeah, it took me a while to like Range Life, but now I love it.
Range Life is beautiful.
I love it because fuck the Smashing Pumpkins.
Dude, apparently the Smashing Pumpkins got them kicked off of Lollapalooza or something.
Okay, put the blame where it belongs. Billy Corgan got them kicked off of Lollapalooza.
Right. Sure. And like, the thing is, like, what they say about the Smashing Pumpkins doesn't even really make any sense. Like, it's vaguely insulting, but, like, it doesn't actually mean anything, you know?
Right,
like,
but...
nature kids, but they don't have no function.
Yeah, and, okay, well, he also says, I don't understand what they mean, and I could really give a fuck. Billy Corgan will not allow you to not give a fuck about what Billy Corgan is laying down.
Right.
Okay? He is the most important person in musical history, okay? You had better recognize and respect that.
I don't know. I like the bit about the Stone Temple Pilots even better, though.
Elegant Bachelors.
The Stone Temple Pilots, they're elegant bachelors.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit. They were like, yeah, that's funny.
Did they respond, like, at all?
I think somebody eventually asked them about it, and, like, they didn't even know about it.
Okay. Yeah.
They're Stone Temple Pilots. What are you?
They're the greatest band in the world.
I don't think I've ever heard any of their songs.
Yes, you have. You definitely have.
Okay.
No, I just like
name
you,
one.
You probably don't know.
Did they do Black Hole Song?
No, that was Soundgarden.
Okay, well, I've heard that.
They did Plush, which goes, "Where have you gone tomorrow? Got time to wait for tomorrow. In my head.
I don't know that song.
You know that song.
Oh,
okay. Alright, okay. They did a song, Creep, that goes, "But I'm half the man I used to be."
Okay, I know that song.
Yeah, I know you know that song.
Well, what the fuck, dude? You don't know?
And they have that song, Interstate Love Song, that goes like, "Meow, meow, 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 biddy, biddy, meow, meow, meow."
Oh, yeah.
I think you would know it if you heard it.
Yeah, I do. I will say that my uncle saw the Butthole Surfers open for Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before. And I saw the Meat Puppets open for Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I really love Hit the Plane Down. That's a great song by Spiral Stairs.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Scott Canberg.
Old Scotty Canberg.
Old Sourpuss. Scott Canberg.
Wasn't he always, like, really mad that he only got one song on an album at best?
Yeah. That was, there was tension.
Yeah. And he didn't even get one on Terror Twilight, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true. But I always like his songs a lot.
Yeah, but, he also has a solo project called Preston School of Industry,
mm-hmm.
And, having listened to a little bit of it, I can say that, we probably didn't need more Scott Canberg songs than we got.
Yeah, well, the ones that we got are really good, so, like, Kennel District?
Kennel District is probably the best out of all of them.
I really love Hit the Plane Down, because Hit the Plane Down has a really great bass line.
Yeah, that's true.
You see?
This song is, like, ugly, though.
I know, that's why I like it.
It's a little jarring, like, with the rest of the album, though. It doesn't quite fit.
That's why I like it. That's what I want to hear.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay. Christ. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't hear every Stone Temple Pilots song. I heard the shit out of Velvet Revolver.
Though. You have heard every Stone Temple Pilots song, though.
They're my favorite band. I misspoke. I forgot that they're actually the greatest band of all time.
Nah, it's just like, they're one of those bands that is so omnipresent despite, like, no one liking them. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, and, like, when that Velvet Revolver band came out, that was a huge fucking deal.
It was, kind of.
And that was the singer for Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, Scott Weiland.
And wasn't it like Slash too? Yep. Which, fuck that guy, honestly. What are you doing? Come on.
You mentioned Rangelave earlier, and I was going to say that that's a good example of, like, how beautiful their guitar playing was, like, getting already at this point.
Like
that opening lead, like, just that opening bit, it does these, like, cascading sort of riff that's really, really pretty.
Yeah.
So that's a great song. I love Rain. That's one of my favorite Pavement songs, actually.
Yeah.
Elevate Me Later is beautiful, also.
Yep. Stop Breathing.
Sure, Stop Breathing.
Stop Breathing is a sad song.
It concludes with those 2 minutes of...
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's cool as fuck.
I wasn't dissing it. I was just describing it.
I know.
It may have sounded negative, but...
No, it didn't. I was just excited.
Okay. Sounded like you were yelling at me. It's like, look, it's not my fault that you know every Stone Temple Pilot song, okay?
It's like, a while back, my mom spent a whole week, basically every time she talked to me, she yelled at me.
Yeah.
And then I was in Raleigh for the weekend, and I came back, and as soon as I got in the door, she said, "Are you mad at me?" I was like, "No, I didn't do anything." And yeah, like, she thought I was mad at her because she was yelling at me.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Well, I mean, it's not unreasonable to think that you might be mad at her.
Yeah, see, that's what my dad said. Like, my dad was like, "Bruh, it's okay if you're mad." I was like, "I'm not." Like, it.
Did she, like, feel bad?
No.
Well, I might be mad.
It was weird.
I think you had a right to be mad.
Well, I'm over it now.
All right.
Well, I just thought it was a strange thing to have happened.
All right.
But,
You want to talk about Wowie Zowie now?
Yeah, my favorite Pavement album.
Okay, so this is your favorite.
This is my favorite.
It was my favorite for a long time. Uh-huh. But somewhere along the line, I just realized that Crooked Rain is, like, perfect. And Wowie Zowie is imperfect. And
it's because Wowie Zowie is imperfect that it's my favorite.
Sure, and I totally get that, and, like, that's why I liked it more for a while too. But I just,
like,
I find myself coming back to Crooked Rain more than I do Wowie.
Like, I love albums that are just these
messy. They're messy outpourings of, like, creativity.
Right, that's what I love.
I get that. I totally get that because I'm the same way. But
yeah. Like a song like Brinksjob, that song is stupid. A song like Serpentine Pad, like, other people wouldn't put those on their albums, but they put them there, and it's great.
Yeah.
Best Friend's Arm.
Sure. This is a weird album. Like,
it is weird.
It is a bizarre album. The songwriting is bizarre, just, like, the way the songs are structured is bizarre, like,
yeah.
But the guitar playing is bizarre. It's, like, messy and chaotic and sort of all kinds of, like, weird effects at different times, and it's just a really weird album.
Yeah, Rattled by the Rush has a really great guitar solo.
Definitely. And just, like, the the like guitars in the verse, the way they're sort of like lazily like strummed, kind of like sound vaguely out of tune,
yeah,
but not quite. Like it's a really neat song.
Outwards, leave your lungs hurting. Tuck in my shirt and the pants I wear so well. Cross your T's, shirt smell worse than your lying. Caught my dad crying. Loose like the wind from the rough we get. Par, sleet city woman waiting to spar. Well, I'm drowning for your thirst.
These are all neat songs.
Yeah, Grounded. Grounded is gorgeous.
Oh man, that opening bit of guitar interplay, like that right there. Yes. Fucking Explosions in the Sky built a career off of that.
Yeah, and fuck them, they suck. They suck. Pavement did in 20 seconds what Explosion in the Sky have been doing for 15 years, and nobody wants it. Fuck them.
Dude.
No.
No, I mean, I completely agree. Fuck them. But it is amazing how many fans of Explosions in the Sky there are. Like, people really love them, man.
You know what it is? They think they do.
Yeah?
They think they do. But because, you know what they do? They put on Explosions in the Sky and they, like, do mushrooms, or drink a bunch of codeine, or they go to an Explosions in the Sky concert,
right,
and they're like, oh my god, like, look at all this is such beautiful music, listen to this crescendo, it's just so emotional. It's not. It's, okay, Explosions in the Sky, and I feel the same way about Godspeed You, Black Emperor, like, they're basically AC/DC. Hear me out. Okay.
It's formula.
You know how every AC/DC song has the same structure and is the same?
Yeah.
And people love them because it's the same.
Right. They know what they're getting.
They know what they're getting. Same shit. Every Explosions in the Sky song has some stupid goddamn crescendo.
Several
I'm supposed to really feel something.
Right.
I don't feel dick. That shit sucks.
I think we've thoroughly alienated all of the Explosions in the Sky fans that we have for this.
Yeah, well,
oh, man.
It's just, okay, like, I had this friend who's super into post-rock,
yeah,
and he would tell me all the time, because I was very into noise and very into drone and into all this other stuff, and he's like, yeah, but that's like noise and that's like drone, but like with actual emotion behind it, and I'm like, okay, you don't. It's like manufactured emotion.
Right.
Where I can tell that it's I can tell
it's very obvious
emotions and that it's trying right. to get me to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, a song like Grounded is a beautiful song and it's this very wistful kind of song and it makes me have emotions that are kind of ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make me feel a
sure.
lot.
Yeah.
And it's not telling me how to feel.
Right.
Grave Architecture isn't telling me how to feel. But I'm just doing it.
Grave Architecture is a weird song.
It's a weird song. I love it.
Yeah. AT&T is a weird song.
Yeah. Shout out to AT&T, the company.
My heart is made of gravy.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I've always liked that line.
Yeah, it's weird. Flux equals rad.
I love Flux equals rad.
It's like they're making fun of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like. I don't know if they are.
Now, AllMusic.com said that Brink's Job was supposed to be like a Ween imitation.
Was supposed to be a what?
A Ween imitation.
Huh.
Which I thought, I mean, there wasn't any like source for it. I think this is just like this guy's opinion. Like,
yeah, well, okay.
I can kind of hear it.
Yeah, I guess. I would like to now talk about the Wowie Zowie 33 and a third book that I read.
Ah, let's hear it.
Oh my god. Well, the first two chapters were just about this guy and his dick.
Sure.
And all the places it has been. And the thing is, I don't give a shit. It's like, I don't give a shit that this dude had sex with a girl who, based on the things that he wrote about, sounds like she had borderline personality disorder, and so I feel bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh my god, but she was so crazy, but like, bruh, she was so hot, you know, and like, we fucked on the floor in her parents' house, and oh my god. And then I went home and I listened to Grounded. It's like, just, I bought a book because I wanted to read about Pavement. Every other chapter was about this guy.
Oh my god.
And about how he just really didn't know where he was going in his life, and he just wanted to write books, man, but he needed to make a living, and it was so sad, and this guy was really deep, bro. Like, I don't fucking care. I just want to read about Pavement.
Right.
And it's like, and it's like, okay, like,
so did he like try to like relate Pavement's music to like
his
life?
Barely. I mean, barely. And I really shouldn't be talking because most of my reviews on RateYourMusic.com are like that also. But it was just the tone, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, I hate the way that so many dudes write about women. And that was a huge example of that.
Sure.
Just like, it's just like I'm supposed to think that this dude is cool because he had sex.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
I mean, it is pretty cool. I do think that it's so strange. Like, sex is such a strange thing that, like, so much of us have just agreed to it. That this is just a thing that we're going to have as part of our lives.
Yeah.
But anyway, so fuck that book. So the interviews were interesting, but, like, it wasn't anything that I did, like, except for the Stephen Malkmus talking about the fact that he played most of the instruments on, like, a lot of the songs, including on Half a Canyon.
Did he play drums?
No, he didn't play drums, but, like, he played guitar, he played bass,
mm-hmm.
and other stuff. But yeah, like, on Half a Canyon, that was him, except for the drums, I think.
Yeah.
Apparently, and that was, like, really surprising to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Half a Canyon is probably the best song on this album.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know what mine would be.
I mean, I just love Pavement doing that jammy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I love when bands that aren't jam bands, like, do jammy material.
Sure.
And, yeah.
We definitely get more of that coming up. But this album, you know, I like it a lot. For some reason, it's just not where I go when I want my Pavement fix, though. I tend to go after the first two albums, like, I don't know, this one kind of grew off me a little bit.
That's what's funny, because I had the opposite.
Right, I went
to the first two, and then I was like, wait a minute.
No, I was obsessed with this album for a while.
Basically, but you told me, oh, you should listen to Wowie Zowie more, and then I did, and I was like, no, Jeff was right!
I knew you would like it.
Yeah, you know me.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I really can't, I don't have anything bad to say about it, though, really. I just doesn't quite click for me the way Crooked Rain does.
Yeah.
Just too, like, broken, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's a big, shaggy mess.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I definitely see the appeal in that. Like, those kind of records are fun, you know? Just sort of artists indulging some of their stranger whims.
Yeah, and it's, like, stuff that makes me want to make stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, tons of great songs on here. Not even any bad ones, really. I mean,
yeah, I can't think of any song on this album I don't like.
Motion Suggest is okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I could do without it.
Whatever.
I could live without it. But yeah. I don't mind it, though. They actually suggested that you should put this album on random.
I'm not gonna do that.
It's something I've never tried it, but I could totally see what would be fun about that.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna do that, but okay. That's fine.
So why aren't you gonna do it?
Because I don't want to.
Have you ever?
I don't like doing that.
But, like, they designed it that way, though.
So?
They might be...
If Stephen Malkmus comes to my house and puts a gun to my head and says, listen, kid, you better put this album on random or you can never listen to it again, then I'd be like, sir, yes, sir. But he can't tell me...
It's a rather morbid scenario that you've enacted for this.
Yeah. Look here, see? You better put this album on random, see?
Well, Apollo 18 by They Might Be Giants is the same way, because they have this like suite of tiny song fragments called Fingertips that's like 18 different tracks.
Yeah, and you know what that sounds like? That sounds like some Residents bullshit, alright?
It's way better, though.
No, it's not.
But, yeah, so, like, if you put the album on random, you get, like, these little snippets of songs in between the bigger ones.
Uh-huh.
So that's, like, an album that is good to play on random. You get it?
Okay. I don't care.
Caroline, do you hate me? Is that what's happening here?
No! I opposite of hate you.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because...
No, I think you are a wonderful person.
I think I can... The anger is palpable.
No. So, I'm just... I don't like the idea of putting an album on random.
Okay.
I just don't want to do that.
But you don't hate me.
No, I don't hate you.
Okay. Then why won't we put the album on random?
Because if it was your album that you created, and you told me to do that, then I would.
Okay, so you only respect musicians' intentions if you know them.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So, Brighten the Corners?
Okay, Brighten the Corners.
This is probably my least favorite Pavement album.
It's mine.
But it still has great songs on it, so...
Sure.
Like, it's pretty good. Like, Shady Lane is great, but Shady Lane makes me sad.
Yeah.
So I don't want to listen to it that often.
I guess I feel like maybe this album is a little less colorful than, like, the ones that preceded it. Like,
it's more, yeah,
It's a lot of, like, clean guitars, a lot of sort of meandering bits of music, I think.
Yeah.
Which I know you're more into than I am, probably, but...
Yeah, but it's like it's not as exciting as it is on, like, Wowie Zowie.
Sure.
You know?
Because it does feel a little cleaner.
Yeah, and it... Right. Okay, you know how there are songs that appear near the end of a record that have the sort of sound that make you sad?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like things ending. The good example of that for me is like Black Angel's Death Song.
Yeah.
Velvet Underground and Nico. Like that song is just like, oh, this album's almost over and it's sad.
Yeah.
I feel like every song on this album is like that.
Huh.
In a way. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
I think I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You get what I mean? You get what I'm laying down?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Although I'm thrilled when Black Angel's Death Song comes up, because that song rules.
No, I love that song, but it's just something about it, it, like, makes me sad.
Yeah.
I really like the song Blue Hawaiian.
Okay.
I like, it has, like, kind of weird ambient sounds under it, like, nature sounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, ocean... And
You're in Hawaii.
Yeah, I like the two Spiral Stairs songs.
Oh, Facade Dream is Spiral Stairs too. Okay. I don't think I realized that before.
What?
Nothing, never mind. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, Day with IKEA and a Passat Dream.
Yeah.
David, like those. So, like, We Are Underused.
We Are Underused is good, kind of.
Yeah. Olds Begin is good. Like, the songs on this are good. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to put this on over any of their other ones.
I do think there are, like, there are kind of, like, sounds on this album that I like. Like, on Transport is Arranged, I really love those flutes at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, that's this nice, like, textural touch that we don't usually get with Pavement.
Yeah.
I also love when the song stops and, like, that little riff, that that part is really cool. Transport Arranged is a really good song.
That is a really good song.
Shady Lane's a really good song.
Sure. Stereo, of course.
The Stereo. You know, I've always been a little ambivalent about Stereo, actually.
I mean, it's a stupid song. But it's very catchy, and I like it.
I just don't really like the hook that much, I guess. Like,
hey! Listen!
Right. Give me malaria!
Yeah, it's. I like.
It's the dumber bass than usual. Yeah,
I mean, the bass. Like, the bass is dumb.
Right.
But I like it.
And then, of course, the lyrics. I mean,
yeah.
What about the voice of Geddy Lee?
I know, like I don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's a song that's
kind of funny, but.
But that's another song that to bring back like what I was talking about earlier, like that. Weird, like, lyrical themes about, like, fame and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, listen to me, I'm on the stereo.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. It's, like, sort of sarcastic.
Right.
I don't know. But, yeah, but see, Shady.
Are they just Lane. Trying to come off, like, sarcastic, though? Like,
I don't know. I don't know them.
Clearly they had, like, if not necessarily plans to take over the world, like, I mean, they wanted to be a popular band.
Well, they succeeded. Exactly. They are a popular band.
Right. I mean, you don't end up like that without trying, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you just were not really trying to do anything and all of a sudden you became a massively popular band.
That would be absurd.
And you're like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do this. And not, you did mean to do that, but then you realized it wasn't what you wanted, which is a Nirvana scenario, sure. But you legitimately did it completely by accident.
You know, I wonder, like, if Nirvana had just, like, broken up after In Utero and Kurt was still alive, like, would they mean as much to people as they do?
I don't know. That's hard to say.
Right.
Because I think that it's sort of impossible to detangle them from the myth of Kurt Cobain.
It does kind of cast a shadow over their music, you know?
Yeah, it does. So it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I shan't say it.
And I wonder all the time, like, what kind of band they would have been if they had kept going, like, from In Utero, you know? Because It's hard to think, like, that they wouldn't have done more, like, commercial material, I guess, after them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to imagine, like, what direction the band would have gone in after In Utero.
Yeah, but, like, and it's also, like, interesting to think about, like, if Billy Corgan had died after...
Would they be Nirvana? Nirvana, yes. Would be the Smashing Pumpkins?
Yes. No, but, like, if they had died after, like, Siamese... If he had died after, like, Siamese Dream or something, would people like them more?
I mean, people like Sublime. I can say that.
Wait, what's the deal with them? Did they have a dude that died?
Oh, yeah, dude. Their lead singer overdosed on heroin, I think.
Oh, that's... You don't want to do that.
Yeah, like in 97, like right at the peak of their fame.
Oh. I see people in Sublime shirts pretty much daily.
Yeah. they never really went away.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of hard to imagine.
Their songs.
Which
you
one?
You know what song it is.
What I Got?
Yes.
You don't know Santeria?
No.
Well, I really wanna know. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Okay.
I really wanna say.
Okay, I thought that was a Hootie and the Blowfish song. No, I didn't. I don't know what I thought it was, but yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
So
you know two Sublime songs.
Okay, yeah, and
possibly
I don't like
three.
What's oh boy?
Do you want to hear the third one?
Yes.
Okay, it's a Long Way. I don't really remember the lyrics to it, but it goes like da 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 da. So they put her in the street. It was the long way.
I probably have heard it. I lived in a college dorm.
I'm going
semester.
To post several YouTube videos on your Facebook page after this episode is over.
Oh jeez.
I'm just joking. I'm not going to post Sublime and Stone Temple Pilots videos on your Facebook.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. For
but I'm gonna wanna.
But yeah, well, try not to.
I'll see. All right. Look, I can't make any promises. All right. Okay. It's going to be like 50-50.
All right.
Yeah, okay, I don't really have anything else to say about Brave the Cool.
Yeah, I like Terror Twilight much more.
I do too.
Terror Twilight is really good.
Yeah, and it's often overlooked, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't think people outright don't like this record, but I think people dismiss it.
Yeah, like it's not really held up there. And it's not like it's not great all the way through, but like there are a couple of songs I do without.
Yeah.
Like Billy, I think is hideous.
Yeah, I don't
and,
like that.
And
song.
I wish I had never heard it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
Platform Blues is kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I don't remember what it sounds like, even.
Actually, the rest of it is pretty great, actually. It's actually just those two songs.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 11 ain't bad, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go.
And these 9 songs are really good. Carrot Rope. Love Carrot Rope.
Love Carrot Rope. Love Spit on a Stranger.
Spit on a Stranger is beautiful. Like,
yeah.
It's definitely one of my favorite Pavement songs. Just... It's a song that really cheers me up, actually. Like, I put it on to sort of feel like I'm in a better mood, I guess. Like, just those those guitars sound, like, really warm and, like, gentle, you know? And Stephen Malkmus has, like, good vibes on the song, you know? Like, he...
Yeah.
He sounds nice on the song, you know?
Aww. Like,
it's
he could be your bro.
Right, right. It's a nice song. It's a romantic song, in a way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even in a way. I think it is
like
a romantic
that.
Song.
Oh, yeah.
Folk Jam is great. Funny lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon my birth, I just slipped out. Origins I can't brag about.
Yeah.
It's funny. I always chuckle.
Major Leagues, another,
Major Leagues, another
single.
A ballad. Apparently he was unhappy with that one. He thought it was too, like, saccharine.
Lip balm on watery clay. Relationships, hey. You kiss like a rock. You know, I need it anyway. Angle for the ringside. Seats when they fall, don't blame me. Bring on the Major League. Bring on the Major League. Bring on the Major League. Bring on the
That's cool.
No, I like it a lot. I think it's a really pretty song. But
yeah, I like the Hex.
Yeah, the Hex, sure. The epic, slow, crawly, sad bit.
Yeah.
Which I like.
I think it's worth talking about the fact that this was produced by Nigel Godrich.
Yes.
The Radiohead guy.
Old sourpuss.
And that was an interesting move for them.
It is, and not necessarily one I would really... I'm not really into it personally. Like
I actually am. I like the weird production stuff that's going on this record.
Okay, I don't like hate it, but I just I don't know. Like I don't really think Nigel Godrich and Pavement were meant for each other. I guess
no, they weren't, and it was a weird thing to do. And I think a lot of people.
I wonder how much money they gave him.
Huh?
I wonder how much money they gave him.
I don't...
Because Nigel had to be raking in some dough after...
Some bucks. After yeah, because this was post-OK Computer.
Yeah, dude. Like, he was a hot producer at this point.
Yeah. That,
like, didn't he... He produced a lot of Beck stuff, too, didn't he? Like, later?
I think so.
It's entirely possible I just made that up.
No, I think he did.
But yeah.
But I really like this album. People should not dismiss it. We did another band where people dismiss one of their albums. I forget what band it was.
You dismissed Sorry and Pink Minor.
That's true, I did, and I shouldn't have done that.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like most bands have that like one record that has a passionate following but generally gets regarded as inferior.
Yeah, but although I do know people that would call this the best Pavement record.
You think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know people that
I'm sure they're out there, but yeah. I would think this one would probably get the least number of votes probably.
Yeah, but it still gets votes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I like the video for Carrot Rope.
I've never seen it, actually.
It's pretty funny. They're all wearing, like, these yellow rain slickers.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, doing, like, lip-syncing and, like, doing dumb poses and stuff. And, Stephen Malkmus said that he was watching a lot of BET and was influenced by that. It's not what you think. It's not the travesty that like white people using the term on fleek is and things like that, but it's pretty dumb. Yeah, that's a thing. Now white people are saying that and we sound stupid.
I don't know what that means.
It just means something is like good.
It's on fleek.
Yeah, don't say it. Don't adopt it into your vocabulary.
All right. I'm not.
You sound
I'm not.
Like an idiot.
I just said it once because I was confused by it.
But yeah.
Man, really, really revealing my whiteness here.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds inauthentic when white people say stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
So you don't need to have everything.
Look, you've got Pavement. You know.
You've got Pavement.
You don't need expressions like on fleek.
The whitest band of all time.
They're up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, you can only be what you are.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, the video for Kara was very cute.
Okay.
I like that it's...
Was that a thing that was happening in, like, hip-hop videos at the time?
Huh?
Was that a thing that was, like, happening in hip-hop videos at the time or something?
What? People wearing rain slickers?
Yeah. Well,
no,
you said he was influenced by BET.
No, he was influenced by BET in the way that he's, like, lip-syncing.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to explain, but if you watch the video and you keep an eye out for that, it will make a lot of sense.
That's funny.
He's not, like, wearing ski goggles.
Right.
And he's not, like, up to a fisheye lens. God, hip-hop videos in the late 90s were the best.
Dude, they did that in rock videos a lot, too, the fisheye lens, though.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Like, I remember, like, Limp Bizkit always, there was always that shit going on.
Well, they were rap rock.
That's true. So, they had some hip-hop in there.
Yeah, but, like Missy Elliott's videos?
Oh, yeah. The video for the rain, I mean, that shit is iconic.
As you referred to her in a trivia answer, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
That's her name.
I know.
Why are you laughing at me for saying it?
It's just so silly.
That's what she calls
you wrote out her whole name.
that's her name.
I know it is.
That's what she goes by as a musician. that is her official name as an artist.
Nurse with Wounds, Stephen Stapleton of Nurse with Wound, for a really long time wanted to do a collaboration with Missy Elliott and some other female rappers, like probably Eve and Da Brat and people like that. Like he shouted them out because he really loves hip hop and wanted to do a hip hop record. It never happened.
Damn.
But can you imagine? That would own, man. That would be so great.
Whatever happened to Da Brat? What's she up to these days?
I don't know. I don't know what she's doing. I hope she's doing well.
I hope she's doing all right.
Yeah, I hope she's having a good time.
She's living off her savings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I hope for Da Brat. Maybe playing a show every now and then.
It's not on top of the world, but...
Well, it's just like, I haven't even, like, thought about Da Brat in, like, years.
What was her hit?
I don't remember.
I just, like, always knew that she was around. I think she was the musical guest on an episode of All of That.
She was. Remember that.
I remember, my brother and I... My brother would, like, get pissed off when kids would be waving their hands... like waving them like they just don't care. Like
in the All That musical segments.
Yeah, it just bothered him. I don't know why.
Well, they were just having a good time watching the music.
I know, and sometimes they were implored to do that.
Right, exactly.
So, like, I'm not gonna not do what Da Brat tells me.
Right. Hey, man. I paid money to see Da Brat. If anything, I should be telling her what to do.
My parents paid money for me to be able to see her. Johnny Greenwood was also on Terror Twilight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he played harmonica.
On what?
On Billy.
Oh.
And Platform Blues.
Oh.
The two songs that you don't like?
The two songs that I explicitly mentioned I do not like.
Yeah, well...
I have only Johnny Greenwood to blame, apparently.
Well, Pavement and Radiohead are two very different bands.
That's also true.
Like, so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty different.
Like the just the emotions and the...
attitude?
The attitude and the composition and everything is just so, like... opposed to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you would still expect Johnny Greenwood to be able to adapt to it and not shit everything up like he apparently did.
Yeah, God. This fucking guy.
Johnny Greenwood is the reason Terror Twilight is not as good as it could be.
Yeah, I specifically put the blame on him.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, he may have given us the There Will Be Blood soundtrack, but...
Yeah. And The Master.
And The Master. And Inherent Vice.
Yeah. So...
But he also...
That's pretty good, but he also played harmonica on the two Terror Twilight songs
on Billy.
Bad.
Billy,
so...
God, what were... I mean... Obviously, I'm just kidding, and I think it's more to do with just that they're not... Like, Billy is an ugly song.
Like, yeah,
that,
not ugly.
That hook
that,
like, do not fortune teller! Like, it's
yeah, like,
dumb
it's
and obnoxious.
Ugly. It's not ugly in the way... Yeah, it's obnoxious.
Right.
It's not ugly in the way that a song like Hit the Plane Down is ugly,
mm-hmm.
where it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just, like, stupid. Yeah, so that's a problem for me.
Right.
But I would not say that they went out on a low point.
Me neither.
By any means. And, I think all their albums are good.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're... I don't know if I would still call them one of my favorite bands, but they're a band I still have a lot of residual affection for. I have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah.
I think they're very talented, and I think they deserve their status, pretty much. So.
I think they're very talented. I think they're great. They're obviously the greatest band of all time.
I mean,
on record.
They are, like...
I want to be friends with Stephen Malkmus.
They are 90s indie rock to me, though. Like, if someone asked me, like, what does 90s indie rock sound like, I would put fucking Crooked Rain on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is to me, basically.
Yeah, because I as much as I love Sebado 3,
I adore Sebado 3.
It's so good. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't really like any of their other albums that much, but...
Bake Sale is good. It's not as good.
Bake Sale is, like, decent, but the thing about Sebado is that it's, like... I mean, I guess you could accuse Pavement of the same thing, but Sebado is very much, like, just indie rock. Like, it's kind of meat and potatoes indie rock sort of stuff. And I like that, but it's not something I listen to, like, all the time, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't accuse Pavement of that, because I think Pavement...
I think they're a lot more inventive. Like,
right, and yeah. I think Pavement kind of codified that sound.
Right.
And now we just hear bands that try to sound like Pavement
right.
all the time, and it's like, ugh.
Right. Ugh. But yeah, 703 is great, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it up for 703. And, I mean, Guided by Voices, you know, you can't take Alien Lanes and B-1000 away from them. But, so, you know, 90s indie rock, though, that's Pavement for me.
Yep.
So yeah,
they are. They defined
a generation.
Yep. Okay, there was this whole thing in that Wowie Zowie book that I read,
yeah.
where like the dude was talking about how Billy Corgan like believed that he and Kurt Cobain were the voices of a generation.
Oh Christ!
And everyone else was just like a distant third. And it's just so like, how do you stand thinking of yourself that way?
Hey man, Kanye West said the same thing.
Yeah, well, like, with Kanye West, I find it more entertaining than I do with Billy Corgan, because I think Kanye West has more of a case.
Yeah.
I don't think it's true, because I think the idea of a voice of a generation is absurd.
Yeah, same.
But I would say that he has more of a case than Billy Corgan does or ever did.
Yeah, for sure.
So
Kurt Cobain might have had a case also, but
and even that, I don't think.
I think it's a silly thing.
I think Kurt Cobain was in the right place at the right time, and I think that's all that was. I don't necessarily think that he was like. I don't know. It's like people say the same thing about Bob Dylan. They always say it about these people that like kind of suck. Say it about Bob Dylan and Billy Corgan.
Hey, dude, Bob Dylan
sucks.
Bob Dylan means a lot to a lot of people, though.
I know. Well, I don't know why.
I'm not the biggest Dylan fan either.
I do love that Bob Dylan's grandson is a rapper. Like a shitty rapper, and he says he spends all like 16 hours a day just like working on his craft. And
you know who else's offspring is a rapper?
Tom Hanks' son and Daniel Day-Lewis's son.
I was gonna say Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis's son.
And
a line in his song was like judging somebody based on who their dad is just as bad as being racist.
Yeah.
And he said, if you refer to me as like. Oh, God, whatever the fuck his name is. Like, Reginald Day-Lewis I'm about to day lose it.
I don't remember that. Wasn't he wearing like an Africa chain or something
like
that?
A gigantic, gaudy Africa like pendant that was like made out of wood.
Oh my god.
And I have to wonder, and I hope, that Tom Hanks and Daniel Day-Lewis get together and hang out and talk about their terrible rapper sons.
Oh shit.
But it's funny because Tom Hanks has the other kid that is just like a serviceable actor, Colin Hanks, who just like does his thing and is fine. And then he's got this Chet Hayes character just fucking it up. Just like the ultimate child of privilege.
Alright, I think we're done here.
Yeah. Will we ever do an episode on Chet Hayes?
Well, just you wait.
Oh, yeah. Once we get to, like, episode 200.
Well, when we've really run out of people to talk about.
Yeah, we'll start doing Chet Hayes. Well, maybe he'll surprise us. Maybe he'll become, like, a big deal.
Mm.
Instead of just some asshole.
Probably not, though.
Probably not. But, so, yeah, this was our podcast, Could Be Your Life.
Yep.
This band was Pavement. I really hope that you learned something.
Yep.
About something or other. Yep. I hope that you enjoyed it. Goodbye, everyone. I love you. Thank you for listening.
And you're always throwing out the I love you at the end here.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
No. You have a lot of love to give.
Yes, I do.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
My name is Ronnie Smith, and I have a lot of love to give. Or Donnie Smith, I fucked up. That one.
Is that from Magnolia?
Yeah,
I felt bad for that guy.
Yeah, it was a sad story.
He got braces just to
impress a dude.
Yeah, well. Oh. That was a good movie. But anyway. So that was me.
Bye.
Bye.
Is this a Danny body? He never